Blog Talk Radio. Beat to Radio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Welcome to the show. You know who it is. It's your man, DJ Big Stu, in the building. You know how I do it. I do it real, real big. All day, every day. Got my guest in the show today. Actually, the radio voice of www.straighttalks.com and the author of Deja Vu All Over Again, Mr. Jim Straight in the building. I want to welcome him to the show. Thank you for being here, sir.
Thank you.
Now, you know, you're a type of guy that got a lot of stuff going on, Jim, from what I see, you know.
Stay busy.
You want to tell some of the people a couple of other things other than what I just mentioned that you got going on?
Well, you know, basically, as of late being the last 6 years, I've been writing books. Mm-hmm. But that happened as a function of me getting into radio, which I have a radio program that I've had since 2006 in the Philadelphia market called Straight Talks. And I had never written prior to my first book, other than I had written some manuals and stuff when I was flying airplanes for a living. I flew airplanes for 30 years. Mm-hmm. So I basically interviewed a couple of fellas who started a series of books called started with Weird New Jersey, the state of New Jersey. And they have done about 30 states now. But back then when I interviewed them, we talked for about 20 minutes. We left so simple, and we started exchanging emails. Before I knew it, they had offered me to write to Weird Missouri because I'm from Missouri originally. And once we, you know, talked about money and agreed on terms and all that, I found myself out in Missouri for 8 weeks, and I drove 8,500 miles, went to hundreds of different locations, talked to hundreds of people, took 2,700 photographs. Then I came back and wrote the book in 4 months. And then really from that point forward, I've really picked up the writing bug, and I've just been writing ever since.
So how many books have you written up to date?
Well, I've written four. Two are in publication right now. I should have another one coming out in January, which would be titled Thomas Jefferson is Missing. But, you know, in parallel with that, I'm doing radio and other things that are really not income-related, but they take up a lot of my time.
So do you find when you write a lot of fictional books, political books, or books that's about true stories?
Well, Weird Missouri is a combination of things. Some of it is true, and a lot of it is fiction. Deja Vu All Over Again is pure fiction, and it's based upon the fact that the Mayan long count calendar ends on the 21st of December of this year, so the story is spun around that. Thomas Jefferson is Missing is fiction, but I make it a political story because of actually what prompted me to write the book was the fact that all of us here in America were stuck in this endless presidential campaigning process. It seems like it just ends anymore. And so about a year and a half ago, I decided to write a book that had politics in it, really prompted by the fact that I'm just so bone tired of dealing with presidential elections.
Mm. So this election, I could tell, is dragging you weary. Do you have a favorite candidate out of these two?
Oh, it's just, you know, it's like always, Stu. It's the least of the evils. And how do you decide which is least evil? That's you know, one person's, you know, least evil is another person's, you know, slightly more, you know, good. So it's just,
yes, that's true. So I mean, do you find have you written anything about the political stages yet?
No, I used to when I first started doing radio. I 6 years ago, I had a stroke and I had to stop flying. And when I was recovering from the stroke, I had to decide what to do with the rest of my life, and I decided I was going to go into talk radio, which really kind of demonstrates my diminished capacity back then. And but when I did go into radio, I had a mentor, and he taught me the ropes, and I pretty much modeled myself after the typical talk show you know, paradigm that's out there. You know, you talk to politicians, and you talk to celebrities, and you talk local events, and that's kind of the model. But really, that got very boring very quick. I mean, I talked to everything from presidential candidates all the way down to governors and senators and, you know, local guys and women, and it really becomes a one-dimensional conversation because you know what they're going to say regardless of what you ask. And I got really tired of it actually pretty quick. But when I started interviewing authors, I really started to click with these people. So the last 25 interviews I've done were all authors, and I can have an hour-long conversation with an author, and it just goes away like that because we're on the same wavelength. I understand what they're going through. I understand the process. I respect it, and I just really enjoy talking to authors, and that's probably what I'm going to talk to you for the rest of my career.
I hear that. So, like, how do you get your inspiration that make you say, okay, I want to write this book right here? What does it take to make Jim say that?
That's a fair question, and I don't know that I have a fair answer. It's the motivation for a story. Well, Deja Vu All Over Again is a story that is going to be very topical here in the next 8 weeks because December 21st is the end of the Mayan long count calendar, and many people think that that represents, you know, the end of time and the end of the world, the apocalypse, and great horrible things are going to happen. I don't believe that, but it makes for a dynamic story. At the time that I started that story, I probably had about 30,000 words written, and I really wasn't sure where I was going to go with it. And then I came into my house. My daughter, my 25-year-old daughter, had stayed overnight and was sleeping in a spare bedroom. I heard this strange noise in there, and I go in there. She's in the middle of a grand mal epileptic seizure. So we call 911. We go through all of that. The next few days and weeks, we're going to specialists and all of. And then she tells me, you know, for the last year and a half, I've been having deja vu all the time. And I said, well, why didn't you mention it? And she said, well, I just thought it was, you know, normal for me. And she'd had hundreds of these very short, brief deja vu events. So I thought, well, that's significant, and I just worked a deja vu into the storyline, and it played nicely. It really worked well with the story. So that I drew upon to, you know, make the story more meaningful to me, because I guess I was not only intellectually involved, but I was emotionally involved with it.
You yourself also, you know, you survived cancer yourself, I see.
Yeah, we had, there was like the last 3 or 4 years, you know, the family just was rained upon by diseases. My wife had cancer, and I had cancer, and my daughter has the epilepsy, and my other daughter had was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, I'm sorry. But, yeah, so she's got diabetes. Now my wife has diabetes. So, yeah, we've been dealing with diseases the last 3 or 4 years, almost to the point where it's just normal. But yeah, you know, I've had that. I've had a stroke, and I've had the, you know, the cancer, and had a stent put in for arterial problems, and you know, the typical stuff you expect when you get into your 60s.
Okay, so you know, this thing about, you know, when the world is supposed to end in December. Do you believe it yourself?
No. In fact, I'm a, you know, I mentioned earlier that a lot of my time is spent doing things I like to do that really don't make me money. In fact, they cost me money. But I'm a very avid cyclist, and I ride my bike a couple hundred miles a week. And I have a 100-mile bicycle ride planned with some friends of mine on December 22nd. So I don't think.
Oh. I hear that. So you just go ride your bike that day. Now, also see, you know, sometimes that you got, you know, you got things that, will the war ever end? You had a show like that yourself, right? Something like that. Do you think the war is going to ever end? Like, will we ever be at peace in America?
Will the human race ever be at peace? It's hard to imagine it. I mean, you know, it's, if you look back across human history, there's never been a moment in time where we have been at peace. And, you know, we've got technology now that gives us the illusion that we're more than what we were, but I don't think we are. I think, you know, at our core, we're still the same species. We're always going to be, you know, grappling with one another. It's sad, but you know, I think it's our reality as far as I can see down the road.
Now, there's a quote that I know that you got that says it would be bitter irony to own a transparent vote to then choose from only the money elite. The money,
yep.
So you want to explain that, what you meant by that?
Well,
that's a deep line right there. That's deep.
I've been involved in the voting integrity movement for the last 5 or 6 years, and basically what it is, the voting process has become so corrupted by the monetary process that no matter how you do the voting process itself, whether you do it with paper ballots or vote into a computer, or, you know, on the internet, do it by mail, none of which I endorse. But no matter how you do it, it really doesn't matter if all of the candidates are bought and paid for. It doesn't matter if they're all, if you're always choosing from the least of the evils. And the way the system works, you cannot compete as a political candidate unless you take money, vast sums of money. And when people give you vast sums of money, they expect you to answer the phone when it rings. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what good is a transparent vote if everybody's bought and paid for?
So modern minds are enslaved by choice.
That's it. Yeah, it's unfortunate, but, you know, that's the way we seem to roll nowadays.
So do you feel any voter suppression going on? How you feel about, you know, the way they're doing with the trying to stop people from voting?
Well, you know, there's always been people trying to manipulate the vote. And, you know, 60 years ago, they would, you know, stuff paper ballots into boxes with, you know, repeat names. And, you know, they dead people would vote and all that. But, you know, if you look at that particular loophole, I mean, that can still be done to a very minor degree, but what's really scary about the new way we vote into computer and in cyberspace is that, you know, if you corrupt a precinct, you might be able to affect, you know, 15 or 20 votes. A really big precinct, you might be able to, you know, somehow squeeze in 1,000 votes that aren't valid. But if you can control the software, the computer system, you can steal an election invisibly. Nobody knows. You're trusting the system. So, you know, I'm a big paper ballot guy, and, you know, we're pretty much committed now to voting in computers in almost every precinct in the country. And, you know, you got to trust the system. And I don't trust the system. I don't trust big corporations. I don't trust big government. And, you know, it's all bought and paid for with money that's out of my hands. And, you know, people think that's negative. I just think it's just a reality. It's just the way, if you analyze it, none of it can be, you know, argued that, you know, they don't take money. Yes, they do take money. I mean, Barack Obama and Mitt Romney are going to spend close to $1 billion apiece in this race for, you know, the presidency. And think of what they could do with $1 billion in the public school system.
Yep. Or we could get out of debt, right? We can get out of this national debt. I noticed on one of your pages you have a debt clock.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, what's the significance of that with you?
Well, you know, the national debt, you know, the number that they like to bandy about is around $16 trillion right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're 325 million people in the country, and that means every baby is instantaneously born into, as it stands right now, about $60,000 worth of national debt. And each family has about $170,000 of national debt. So if you look at, you know, balancing the debt clock, it's not possible. You know, you can't do it using conventional accounting. You can't do it by bumping the tax rate up by 3% or 15%, because to balance it, every human being would have to give the government $60,000, every American citizen, and every family would have to give the government $170,000. That's after-tax money to balance the sheet. So that's not, you know, realistic. It's not possible. So we're never going to correct this situation, in my belief, using conventional accounting. I mean, we're to the point, really, where you kind of like you have to just forgive a lot of things and reboot the system and start anew, draw a new line on the bottom of the ledger, and then move forward more intelligently.
Now, do you think it's fair, like a lot of people who claim to say like 4 years of, it takes more than 8 years of debt. Do you think that is the case, or do you think it's just bad policies of this administration that's in office now?
Well, you know, it's been bad policies for the last 30 years or more. And the fact that, you know, the past five presidents have just contributed to it all, and any presidential candidate gets up there and says they can correct this mess, the financial mess, using conventional thinking, is just lying to us. You know, that's the reason I'm just done with them all, because they look into the camera and they just spew nonsense, and we're expected to vote for them. I mean, I vote every election, but I won't necessarily be voting for those two fellas. You know, people say, well, you know, if you don't vote for one of the candidates, you're throwing your vote away. Well, I find that that's really an interesting frame of reference. If you really think you're throwing a vote away to vote your conscience, to vote for you think who would do a better job than the two people that, you know, are being forced down our throat.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, is it throwing my vote away? I don't know. I think my intellect, my conscience, and that's the way I roll, and that's what I'll be doing this coming November.
So when you speak to people about voting, like, you go places and you do talk, like, do you do speaking events yourself?
Well, I have done a few, but I haven't done anything in the past year and a half or so because I've really come to the point where I was very active in the voting integrity community. Right now I'm just, like, sitting back and trying to see where I'm at personally and to see where, you know, the country is at, where the movement is at. Because you do reach a point in time where – and you have to be able to face reality. You know, you cut your losses and you move on. And we're really at the point where it's a done deal. They're going to have the system controlled by forces that are beyond me, beyond you, beyond all of the average voters. And the average voters mean people that make, you know, $100 million. Unless you've got some major money, you don't really change anything. You can't have any significant impact. Like, you can go to the streets and protest and carry the signs and do all of that, and that gets you on the media. But that's almost like, I see that process nowadays as almost a process that the forces that really have the influence, they want that. They like that. That's kind of like a pressure valve. It lets the people out on the streets vent. They do it for a few days, and then they go away thinking they've done something. And then the people that really do control things just keep moving the way they were. And they know that the pressure will build up, but they have this process that allows people to go to the street and vent, and it just builds up and vents, and nothing changes.
Now, speaking on people going to the streets, what's your take on Occupation Wall Street? Did you think it was a worthwhile cause?
I think all of the causes that take people to the streets are worthwhile. I just don't know that we can change things like we could 200 years ago. The Revolutionary War can't happen in modern times. You know, it just wouldn't work. And you know, the fact that we have the right of free speech and the right to peaceably protest, that's a very powerful thing to have. But unless you can see some change happening, it's just like they recently, in fact, you know, the voting integrity community protested this need to have voter ID. And I'm probably one of the only people in the voting integrity community, the people that have been, you know, active in the last 4 or 5 years, who actually endorse the idea of voter ID. And the only reason, of course, it is because, you know, if you don't want to have cheating at the polls, if you want the process to have integrity, then you have to know who's voting. Now, the fact that some people, if I say some, that really means millions of people, are going to have a hard time getting ID. Well, then, you know, if we're going to require ID at the same time, we need to be smart enough and responsible enough to put some people on the street to get these people ID, to take vans into the neighborhood, do whatever we have to do so that everybody has legitimate ID so that they can go to the polls and vote. But I don't have a problem with the voter ID, but they think they've won now because in Pennsylvania, a judge said, well, you know, we're not going to require it for this election. Well, you know, they maybe bought some time for this election, but the next election they're going to require voter ID. So I guess you have to choose your battles, and you take your small victories, but do all of those small victories ultimately add up to, you know, changing things in a revolutionary way? In today's world, I'm very doubtful of it.
Now we're get ready to seem like we're getting close to getting into some type of interaction with Iran. Do you think is it smart enough for America to get into another war at this point in time?
I tell you, I'm so tired of America being in wars and our guys getting killed for things that just make very little sense nowadays. If I had my way, I'd bring 98% of all the troops home from wherever they are around the world. We have troops in about 130 different locations around the world, and that makes us exactly like England was 230 years ago. I mean, it used to be said that the sun never set on British soil. And what that meant was it never sat on British influence, and what that meant was British military. And here we are, 230 years later, in the same exact position that the people that we overthrew so that we could have our own free country, we are now, we've become them. So, no, I'd bring.
So you do you feel that like we're you know going to be the weaker country now, America? You know, like a lot of people feel that now, America, we're looking like we're going to be the weakest country. A lot of people don't like us no more, other countries. How do you feel about that?
Well, you know, if you take a look at the statistics and the numbers where we rate as far as that and infant mortality and so many different ways. We are way down the list as you know, so being number one that you know you can't even consider it. I mean, we're in a lot of places. You know, we're number 24 as of a few days ago, number 24 in the world in education. We're like number 30 for infant mortality, and it's just you know ridiculous for us to continue to say that we're the number one country in the world as far as our people perceiving us as number one. I think we're still running on momentum. We have enough momentum where we're still going to be influential for, you know, quite some time. But there's no way I believe that we're the number one economy or we're the number one country in the world. There's too many other countries that have a better lifestyle than us that are financially solvent, that just have everything going for them that we don't have. So, I mean, I love America, and I think we can recover if we can hire some intelligent leaders with integrity. And unfortunately, the American public just doesn't want to seem to do it.
Do you find that America, our government, like, do you find that our government is not really doing? I know you don't like the government, but do you find? Do you think it's really Congress that's holding it back on purpose on Barack Obama, like people are saying, like they're not trying to?
I mean, he can. Any president, any candidate can promise the world. But when he's in office, if he can't get Congress to cooperate, it's meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
See, a Congress can hold us, you know, right in the same place that we've been for the last 10 years, and if they don't change, that's where we'll be 10 years from now in the future. And, yes, yeah, so Congress, you know, has to cooperate with the desired direction of our leader, or, you know, we just kind of sit in one place and spin our wheels, which isn't bad if the leader was going to take us down a bad path. If he's going to take us down a good path, he or she, then, you know, if Congress doesn't cooperate, then we're just stuck spinning our wheels here with $16 trillion of national debt, and that doesn't even include all the other debts, which take us well over $100 trillion. So, yeah, Congress is pivotal.
Do you find some other radio shows are too extreme with some of their views? Like, when you look at maybe, say, somebody like Rush Limbaugh and other guys like that. You know, do you feel that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, they're entertainers, and you know, they have large audiences because they're willing to say extreme things, and they're smart enough to where they can say extreme things in a context that almost makes it seem like it's, you know, part of the political process. But they're really just like Rush Limbaugh is just a talk shock jock, and do they take it too far? I don't know. I mean, it's. You know, a person listening has to be intelligent enough to know when it's complete nonsense and when it's entertainment and when it's just there so that, you know, people will get, you know, upset. And you if you're smart enough to filter that out, which you should be, then I don't think I would, you know, try to limit what anybody can say or should say. But it's not the stuff that I want to listen to.
So do you feel that this one debate could change this whole race?
Oh, yeah. It already has.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether the next two debates will, you know, seal the deal or not. I mean, I think it's going to – I've always thought that this is a dead heat race. And, you know, it's going to be decided on, you know, the election day. And it's probably going to be a very, very close race. And I think we lose either way. So I'm not going to be a happy camper. But I don't think anybody's going to be able to call this race until, you know, they count the votes.
The one poll I want to ask you about, though, like the women poll. Now, Barack Obama was leading by so much by the women, you know, but now all of a sudden, I didn't see nothing in that debate that would make women change their mind to where it would be a 47% tie. But I could be wrong. How do you feel about that?
Well, you know, Stu, I learned a long time ago, and a really smart guy, a world leader that was probably, you know, one of the most dynamic and most meaningful that's been around in the past couple hundred years, Winston Churchill. He had a view on statistics. He said that the only statistics you can trust are those that you fabricate yourself. Mm-hmm. So polls, I don't pay much attention to polls. You know, I mean, I try to get a feel for how things seem to be falling based upon the totality of what I hear. Because if you listen to one news network, they've got polls that say one thing, and you listen to another news network, they have polls that say something else. Nobody can, you know, agree on what's meaningful, what's real, what isn't, and they just, you know, they just spin it their way, and I'm done with that. You know, I just look at the totality of everything, and I look at it and I think, it's a dead heat. This is a tough race to call.
Do you think us and the media have we hurt the game in, you know, reporting different things, and even, you know, talk show hosts or some of these news hosts? Do you think we hurt the game in politics by, you know, exaggeration or not writing the truth some stations? And
well, you know, in one way I think we do, but in the other, you know, it's just like, you know, if Romney goes to Fox News and he goes on Fox News and he talks to the Fox News listeners, well, those people are already on his side. He's, you know, he's talking to the choir, and he's not really winning, you know, many new votes. And the same thing goes with CNN. You know, if Obama goes on CNN, and he's talking to the choir. When they go to all of these rallies, they're talking to people that are already going to vote for him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the real important numbers for these guys are the people that are still undecided.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
There needs to be a middle-of-the-road channel, and I don't know that that's ever going to exist. But, you know, Fox News and CNN, you know, they're both extremes, and you got to take them for what they're worth. I mean, I don't believe anything that I hear on either one of them, in an absolute sense. I'll maybe listen to it and say, well, that makes sense depending upon this or that or the other, but just because, you know, they get all, you know, excited and they want to spin things their way and manipulate the statistics and choose the polls they want to choose, that doesn't mean anything to me.
Now, have you written a book about, you know, surviving cancer and you know, and going through the changes in your life? Have you written a book about that?
No, I've talked about it quite a bit on the radio, and I, you know, I have private conversations about it once in a while. And but for me, it's just, you know, life. I've led a really blessed life, Stu. I've had, you know, I mean, I had a very modest beginning, but I've worked hard and I've tried hard. And when people opened doors to me, I walked through them and did the best I could to expand my life. But I can't complain. And the fact that I'm now getting diseases that everybody gets something. Mm-hmm. I've tried to not complain about it, just deal with it. We're lucky to live in a time when you can get these diseases, and, you know, a lot of them can be treated very effectively, and that's what's happened with me. And you move on. And my wife had a far more serious thing than me, but, you know, we both, you know, jumped all through all the hoops for that. Now she's back up on her feet and running strong. And I mean, I guess I could write it, but there are so many people out there writing, you know, self-help books and this is how I survived this and this is how you should survive this. I mean, it's such an individualized thing. When you're confronted with something that's going to change your life, you find a way to deal with it. And my best advice to people is to, you know, just try to appreciate the good things that you have, and, you know, if you've got a disease or you have a condition, the fact that you can get some treatment for it. And in America, even though we don't have, technically, we don't have health care for everybody, if you walk into an emergency room in dire straits, they're going to treat you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it may bankrupt you. I mean, they may, 5 years later, they may be suing you for the money, but at least you're alive to be sued. So, you know, there's a lot of different, you know, circumstance out there. But, yeah, I mean, I've had, you know, the things to deal with, but you just deal with them and you move on, so.
Where you see America 10 years from now?
About where we're at now, with probably gasoline, you know, having essentially ruined the trucking industry. And I don't know, Stu. It's I hope that our troops are home, and I hope we have, you know, stopped trying to be the policemen of the world. And I hope that we've, you know, put money into our educational system. And I hope we're creating educated people that can do the things that are going to have to be done in the future, because, you know, you can't be competitive in today's world if you have a nation full of uneducated cretins. And it's just our educational system is scary. And you know, so many people leave in school. And, you know, that's when we have, if you look at all of our, the problems in America that we have to deal with, and you put assign one to each point on the compass, you know, you can just randomly spin the compass, and there's a, you're going to be pointed at a problem that is so big, there's no solution that can take place in 10 years. You know, we can't fix the economy in 10 years. We can't fix the healthcare system in 10 years. We're not going to fix any of the problems that we've got now because they're just too big. They can be fixed, but it's going to take decades. That's if we accept the fact that we need to do that now. And the longer we wait, the longer we, you know, just put things off, and the longer the politicians lie to us so that they can get elected and go into the history books as being president or governor or whatever they want to be, if they will only say the things that we want to hear so that our party continues, you know, the party of life, the good times we're having, then, you know, the hole's just going to get deeper. And, you know, at some point in that time, everything does break. Is it 10 years from now? I don't know. You know, it's just.
Oh, so, you know, it definitely, you know, you definitely got a lot of interesting stuff. And so, I mean, I want you to tell people where they can listen to you at and where they could get your books at.
Well, StraightTalks.com has been on hiatus for a few weeks, but I'm coming back in a couple weeks on WNJC 1460 or 1360 AM in the Philadelphia market, and WIFI AM 1360 in the Philadelphia market. I don't have a time slot yet, but when that happens, you can find it on my website. If you want to read Weird Missouri or Deja Vu All Over Again, they're both available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Deja Vu All Over Again is also available on Smashwords. Essentially, if you go to any of the major retail outlets online, you can buy them there.
Anything special we should be on the lookout for?
Hello?
Yeah, anything special we should be on the lookout for?
Special. No, I'm going to be releasing, you know, a third book, Thomas Jefferson Missing, in September. But, you know, if this thing with December 21st is reality, it's all a moot point.
So, but no movies coming out of none of these books yet.
You know, actually, I am glad you mentioned that, because a gal approached me about doing a script for Weird Deja Vu All Over Again, and she sent me enough to do probably the first 12 to 15 minutes of the movie, and I got to say I like what she did. So I'm talking with her, and you never know. It's going to be the book will, like many movies, you know, the movie is adapted to or is loosely based upon a book, and that's what would have to happen with this because, you know, the timeline is passing. December 21st is just too close. But you can easily adapt the book to make it into a movie. And it's an action-adventure novel. It reads very fast. And, you know, if you like action-adventure along with some sci-fi and some philosophical stuff mixed in along the way, then, you know, it's your kind of read. So, yeah, there is actually a potential for a script to reach completion on this book, yeah.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for, you know, stopping by, man, having a conversation with me. It was real interesting. And definitely going to, you know, check out some of your stuff. And, you know, whenever you do your next one, we definitely want you to stop by, man, and chat with me again.
Well, thanks, Big Stu. It was fun. Thank you.
All right. Big Stu Radio, you heard it here. We had the man, Jim Schrait, in the building telling you about the new book that's coming out, Deja Vu All Over Again. Y'all know how that go. Once again, I want to thank Mr. Jim Schrait for coming through to Beef Stew Radio. And, you know, we really thank you for coming through because, you know, we're a hip-hop show, so you really enlighten us.
Yeah. Keep fun. Thank you.
All right. Once again, thanks again for being here.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Yeah, so you know how we do it, y'all. We give the days on Tuesdays, we do the books and, you know, we play a little music. And that's real interesting because, you know, he's coming from a different point of view, than maybe I would have came through. But America's America. Everything is fair. But like he says, he's a person that sees neither one of the guys that's the candidate to be, you know, and that's like a lot of people feel. There's a lot of people out there that feel like, I'm not going to vote for neither one of these guys. I'm not going to vote for Barack. I'm not going to vote for Romney. And that's your right. Now, I always think you should vote for somebody. And something that he said again, vote for the lesser evil. because somebody got to do it, and somebody's going to do the job, and, you know, that's just how it is. You have to vote. But, you know, once again, it's DJ Big Stu. You know how I do it. I start off with a little bit of, you know, I start off with the books, you know, because today is Tuesday. Tuesday's Books and Soul. That's what it's called, Books and Soul, because I'm going to play some soul music for y'all today. I do it all day different. You know, one day I'm playing new music for y'all. Then another day I'm playing classic hip-hop. Then another day I'm playing classic R&B. Then another day I'm just playing, like, just whatever's clever, you know? Then another day I'm with Kay Nicole just arguing with her. You know, I just argue with her on Friday. You know, everybody else be like, thank God it's Friday. I come to work on Friday, be like, I got to argue with Kay Nicole through her whole show. Soon as she walked through the door, she has a problem with me. Soon as she walked through the door, if I'm sitting in the chair wrong, sitting in her chair wrong, if I pick my own music that I want to play for the night, I gotta, you know, it's her show, so, you know, she's real strict. I gotta go over and over and over again with her for her show, and she wanna change her list every time. Say if her show come on 11 o'clock, Kay Nicole will wanna change her music at 10 to 11. Yeah, she want me to, oh, I wanna change everything. And will get mad at me, y'all, if I can't, if I didn't bring a record, if I forgot something, if I didn't do something, she would have a fit. And it's the end of the world. How many of you guys got a partner like that? Hit me on the blog and let me know if you got a partner like that, man. Follow me, follow us on Beef Stew at Twitter on Beef Stew Radio. Go to the Facebook. You know, we on Facebook.com/Beef Stew Radio. You know what I'm saying? You can go to LinkedIn. You know, we Beef Stew Radio on LinkedIn. We Beef Stew Radio on StumbleUpon. We Beef Stew Radio on every major thing. You can go also to Google and you can get with us on Beef Stew Radio. We down there. You can go also on Yahoo. We Beef Stew Radio. You know what I mean? Everything that you see that's out there, StumbleUpon, LinkedIn, YouTube, MySpace, even MySpace. That's right. We are still on MySpace. A lot of, now, you know, I'm going to tell you something. You people forget, huh? Yeah, I said Facebook. You know, like I said, she's in the background. Not even her day. You know what I mean? She shouldn't even be here today. You know what I mean? But she just want to come in here and mess with me. But we on Facebook. We on everything. You know what I mean? But, yeah, man, I'm gonna tell you, man. It's crazy because I want to talk about MySpace. People was like, "What you still doing on MySpace? You're crazy if you don't still go to MySpace." There's a lot of things popping on MySpace, and statistics said that. Now, MySpace may not be as popular as Facebook, or making them, you know, drawing in the sponsorship money as Facebook, but MySpace is still, for a person that's on, you know, anybody that's out there, any rapper, any, you know, person that's a host or any radio show, MySpace is still it's still an audience on MySpace. There's still people promoting their music and everything on MySpace. There's still a lot of transactions going on MySpace. It's just the shares of MySpace are maybe not, you know, moving as other guys. But MySpace is still popular. And that statistics show that. That's why I was shocked to find that out. I was like, oh, I got to keep rocking with MySpace, man. I got to keep doing my thing. Shout out to the East Side Story crew, you know. That's the new movie that, you know, yours truly. It's crazy because I'm not only in it as, you know, as an actor, you know. I play the role of a, you know, well, it's the East Side Story. And the story is based up in East Harlem, you know what I mean? It's based up in East Harlem and a couple of projects. So there's a bunch of brothers who are out in the streets, man, you know what I'm saying? And life and just real life things that happen to them. They go through a lot of changes, you know. They're trying to find a way to get out, you know, to get out and do different things. Some brothers were trying to get in the music business. Some brothers just trying to have a good life. And, you know, then there's just some brothers that's just trying to be crooked. And it's a lot of, you know, the story is deep, man. It's real deep. A lot, you know, some people ask me, is it based on true story? And I tell people, you know, you figure it out. You know what I mean? When you see it, you figure it out. You know, if you from East Harlem and you see something that you recognize, then you think about it. If you're not, you know, you may not. You know, but you'll tell if things are a true story. But as for me, I'm not going to give that away right yet. you know. But definitely the first episode is coming soon. It's a mini-series, something similar to The Wire, when I say mini-series, or, you know, Broadway International, you know, Broadway Empire. You know, it's going to come on, you know. And also we're looking at, you know, it's going to be on, you know, the cable. We're going to have the link for it. Definitely going to be on YouTube channels, WorldStar. It's going to be on everything. But we also are working on getting it on public access, coming on, you know, every weekend, every week, actually, on public access or metro access. So we're in the talks of doing some things. So, you know, as soon as I get it, you know, let it be known. As soon as I get it, I'm going to let y'all be known. But it's a great movie, man. I'm real great to be part of it. Not only am I acting in it, I'm actually the director, one of the directors of the movie. Yes, your boy, see, for y'all that don't know, Stu do a lot, man. See, cats that know me, they know Stu's about doing his thing. But cats that don't know me, they be like, yo, every time I turn around, this kid, Big Stu, doing something, man. I heard Big Stu over here trying to build something over here. Yo, I heard Big Stu over there at the Showboat coaching and doing this. Yo, I heard Big Stu on the radio. Yo, I heard Big Stu doing this over here, doing that. Yo, I'm telling you, man, you got to stay positive. You got to stay focused. You got to stay moving. You got to stay doing positive things, because positive things lead to real success. You know what I mean? And that's what it is, man. You can't just be partying all the time, man. There's some dudes out there that just party all the time. I'm not one of those dudes. I'm a dude that grind, you know. And I feel once I grind and I get everything together, then it's time to party. And right now I'm feeling so real big and beautiful about this movie. Big shout out to my man Heck. Big shout out to Mo Money. You know what I mean? Big shout out to Capper, part of the whole team, the whole technical team. Big shout out to El Casino, one of the actors in the movie. Shout out to Ron Boogie. Shout out to, you know, my man Tyson Pounds. He's definitely in the movie. Shout out to J.R. Ryder's in the movie. Shout out to Black Robbo be in the movie. Shout out to, there's going to be a lot of Harlem rappers in the movie. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not part of that casting department, but we have a new casting director, you know, and we also have some, you know, we have, like I said, my man Mo Money. For you, those of y'all that don't know, Mo Money did songs himself with people like The Lox, Mace. You know, they was all in the Die Hard movement. They was doing their thing back then. He was also part of the Trouble Neck Brothers. And, you know, he also, you know, and, you know, we got, and which between them is connected with another Harlem-based group called Ziggy, you know. So, you know, Mo Money has a lot of connections with a lot of rappers, you know what I'm saying, and a lot of DJs. So this movie's going to be crazy. You know what I'm saying? We reaching out to a few people. You know what I mean? Definitely reaching out to a few people. So y'all make sure y'all check out this movie. But as I say, as I proceed to do this thing here that I do on a natural basis with speed and grace, I can do it all over the place. That's what my man RJ would say. And he ain't here with me right now, but I'm going to take his little style and rock it real wild. You know what I'm saying? I am the DJ Big Stu, the number one DJ on the net. Don't let the rest tell you, because they lying to you. I guarantee you, and I make a bet. When it comes to doing this DJ thing, can't nobody mess with me, because I'm the BWEFSTW. Big Stu, baby, bring that trouble to you. This is how we do it on Beef Stu Radio. Doing it real big. Are you with me? Can you go with me?
Another Tuesday afternoon. Stoned on the couch, nothing to do.
You know what I'm going to do real quick before I take y'all back and take y'all on the soul part of this Tuesday, because this is the Tuesday night for the soul with DJ Big Stu. I'm going to rock with my homegirl Tess on this joint, Michael Jackson, because this is what she's talking about. I'm about ready to roll up a fat one and see what she says. So we're going to do this all night long. Once again, it's Tess with the new joint, MJ. So big shout out to Kappa, he's in the studio. But you know what I'm saying? After that, I'm going to take y'all back and rock hard.
Hey Kiki, girl, what's up with you?
Like I said before, y'all, you know how I do it. It's your man DJ Bass Stu. I'm gonna bring that soul to y'all right now. This is Tuesday Night Book of Soul with DJ Bass Stu. I brought you the book, I'm gonna bring you the soul. Let's go.
Things has held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing up our act. And if you've ever been held down before, I know held down anymore.
Don't you let nothing
stand in your way.
I want you to live on.
Every word I say, every word I say, ain't no stopping us now. We're on the move. Ain't no stopping us now.
And if you're trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going, they don't know.
But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our shows together, gonna polish up our act. Well, and if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
Thank you.
baby. I'ma get a little slick with my man Rick James on this joint. A lot of y'all don't remember that. Once again, it's DJ Big Stu. You know how I do, y'all. It's Tuesday night, books and soul, baby. On Tuesdays when I bring you them hot ass books, and then I end it with some soul. And my man Don Cornelius used to say, peace, love.
Yeah. what you got until you get what you need, y'all. You got to give a lot just to get what you need sometimes, y'all.
It's all about me, baby. Big thing.
you. I got a spelling name for you. Dude, I got a spelling name for you. Get on my groove, man, homie. That's how we do it. Beast Radio now. Kicks a little bit of news to y'all right now. Got some sad news, man. A real sad story right here, man. Ohio girl, a young lady in Ohio, Shakira Dorsey, was beaten to death after teasing another girl about farting. A 16-year-old girl, Ohio girl, is dead after a fight that started when she made fun of another teenager's, you know, making a fart. The other girl was also 16, faces a murder charge. Cops haven't released her name yet. A group of adults, including stepmother and the victim's the stepfather of the victim, Shakira Dorsey, watched as the two teens got at it last Wednesday in a Warrenville Heights. After Shakira teased the other girl for passing gas, witness told KAIT-TV. At the end of my driveway, it was some kids fighting, and it was some adults there watching. One person told the 911 operator. Local parent DeAndre Clemens said, post on Facebook, Twitter, implied that one of the girl's parents actually brought her to fight, which is sad. So the parents are playing Don King and setting up fights between children. That's crazy. The police report said the man identified as Dorsey's stepfather was with the victim and her sister when Dorsey collapsed. Blanking out his name, the report reads, when asked what Shakira had been doing prior to taking on the loan, he became very evasive and would not provide any information. As I spoke with Shakira's mother, as I spoke with him, you know, they said Shakira's mother arrived on the scene. She had not been notified of the situation, but also confirmed that Shakira had no pre-existing medical, conditions. Later, the report reads, I again spoke with, the father about the event leading up to Shakira's collapse and the time. This time, he advised the news to pull from in front of, front of his car. He told the news to get in front of his car. Wolfskin jumped from his car backseat and ran behind SUV, stated Shakira, and another girl emerged. Oh, so this is what happened. They saying that what happened was he pulled up out of his car and Shakira jumped out the backseat and ran behind SUV. And then stayed another girl emerged behind the SUV. 911 call sounded like, it all ended in the driveway, the lady said. And some kids fighting, adults watching. It's adults and grown-ups watching them fight, which is a shame. These parents ain't shit. That's what they saying. Dorsey's stepfather eventually stopped the ball. She collapsed and was rushed to a local hospital when she died. Medical examiners have not reached the cause of death. The girl was charged with murder. The other girl was charged with murder. Is set to make her first juvenile appearance court on Wednesday. All this over a goddamn fart. And there's some shady ass parents involved with this thing. But want to give a, definitely want to give a rest in peace to to Shakira Dorsey. Definitely want to give a rest in peace, you know, because that's sad, man. That's real sad. Parents, you know, I don't understand us parents, man. We don't do that. I mean, I understand myself. I would have broke that up. I wouldn't have been out there fighting. I don't know. It might have been something different, you know. You don't let your little girl fight till she, you know, you had to see something. You know, you had to see something. It had to be some type of sight to show this little girl. Once again, what can people say about Stevie J walks up to Lil Wayne and kisses him in the mouth at some place? This kissing in the mouth with rappers thing got to go. I'm going to come back a little later and deal with that, you know what I mean? But for real, like, that's crazy. That is real crazy. These guys are, you know, doing their thing. Now, Rocka Flocka, you know what I'm saying, he's in the mood for doing some stuff, man. But I'm going to get back to that later with Rocka, because Rocka, he's talking about Rihanna. He's talking about he doesn't want to date Rihanna. He would never date Rihanna. He would never wife Rihanna. You know, he must got some big things that he got to say about Rihanna, but that's what it is. But guess this, y'all. Guess this. Miss P. Diddy, baby mother, chitter chatter, P. Diddy, baby mama, puts her stamp on approval on Cassie and confirms that he's planning to put a ring on Cassie's finger. His baby mama did that. Yes. Misa Houghton says she approves of Cassie and Diddy's relationship. Regardless of what others may think, Diddy and his side chick turned main chick, Cassie's relationship, there's one pretty important person who says she has nothing but love for the former Ciroc girl. You know what I'm saying? Diddy, close friend and mother of his first son, Justin, Misa Houghton Brim, says Cassie is just the right girl for the bad boy's baby daddy. When asked if she's affected by the fact Diddy's marrying Cassie, she told the Radio Power, "No, I love Cassie." She said, "I like Cassie for him. She's talented, she's beautiful, and she's really nice to him and my son. He's really nice to my son, and that's all I can say." And that's all I can say, she added. Well, one thing for sure, pigs will fly before Kim Porter will utter those. That's what they wrote. Pigs will fly before Kim Porter utter those words. Yeah. And Mimi is set the record straight on Stevie J's other kids, you know what I'm saying? K. Michelle's talks about love and hip-hop and Latin scrutiny. And, you know, and Beyonce, Baby Blue Ivory, had a nose job. Beyonce, Baby Blue Ivory, had a nose job. A baby. Baby, Beyonce's Baby Blue Ivy had a nose job. Beyonce and Jay-Z are the two biggest trendsetters in the world. Whether they adorable baby, Baby Ivy likes it or not, she is too. Will be a trendsetter in her own right. Actually, unknown to the 7-month-old cutie, she's already a trendsetter. The trend she's helping start is baby rhinoplasty. You hear that? Somebody made super keen eye recently and tipped off the media takeout, pointing out that Baby Blue nose went from being pointy as it was at birth to being more flat, suggesting that the infant had some type of work done in this shocking scandal. I don't know what this. That's crazy. That's crazy, you know. I don't know what to say on that one, man. I don't know what to say on that one. What I'm going to do is, though, it's time to get back into some more music. Once again, it's DJ Big Stu. Once again, I'm not really with this kissing thing, you know. They say it's not really going down. I don't know. it's not really something to read. It's something to see. It's a video. I'm going to go look at the video while we play some more music. And what they say is Stevie J kissed Lil Wayne in the mouth. Doesn't look real good, fellas. We're getting into this one, man. Once again, you know how I do it. I do it like I do it. I do it like I do it because when I do it, then I do it. You can call yourself the best, but you ain't the best unless you can do what you do when you do when you do. You know what I mean? And I can do what I do when I do to do. Once again, I am Big Stu, top dog on internet radio. Like it or not, that's what it is. We in the building. We taking it back. We get smoking.
Love. something without warning love. That's heavy on my mind. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
Spotlight on. Make up my mind, and I'm positive. A better love. finding it. You are my shining star, my guiding light, my love that I see. There's not a minute, hour, day, or night that I don't love you. You're at the top of my list, cause I'm always thinking of you. I still remember in the days when I was scared to touch you, how I spent my day dreaming, planning how to say I love you. You must have known that I had feelings deep enough to swim in. That's when you opened up your heart and you told me to come in. Oh, my love.
Thank you. see the limit.